Raise your hand if you're addicted to streaming. Hey, it's Mark Arum here, and my hand is raised. I want you to check out Xfinity Stream Saver. When you add Xfinity Stream Saver to your internet, you get Apple TV plus Netflix and Peacock all for one low price. And now through September 22nd, get 150 megabit Xfinity internet, $30 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract, Wi-Fi included. Stream Saver, just $15 a month. Get all the information online at Xfinity.com or call 1-800-XFINITY right now. Do not adjust your dial. You heard correctly when Chris Chandler said Weird Al Yankovic is going to join us live on the show. That is at 10:50 a.m. I am over the moon. We're going to talk to Weird Al. If you're my age or Gen X or a child of the 80s, I mean, Weird Al, that's huge. Thank you, Deborah, for booking it. But we got to start. Everyone, moment of silence, thoughts and prayers for all the folks down at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. Every time I go to the airport, I meet a ton of folks that work there that listen to the show. We're praying for you, man, today. A massive global IT outage impacting a number of things. You heard Judd just run it down. Banks, some financial services, the stock markets. Here locally, I talked to the folks in the traffic center. There are a couple of 911 centers. That's still working, but back-end stuff where they're dispatching things, those are down.
Even some of our resources we can't get to.
I have very little resources.
Ours are down.
I was able to get donuts today. That was the resource I needed. But the whole state of Alaska, their 911 service is down. I believe New Hampshire, their 911 service is down. Now, the update is CrowdSource is the company. They were doing an update.
CrowdStrike.
They said there's a fix there. Hopefully see some improvement. But it has been a nightmare down at the world's busiest airport. Joining us live from Hartsfield-Jackson International, it's Michelle Wright from Atlanta's Morning News. Michelle, absolutely insane. Is this comparable to like a Thanksgiving Day getaway crowd there?
Kind of, but a little bit different because usually it's just a lot of crowds and people are moving when Thanksgiving Day comes down. What's happening and what I have not seen honestly ever in my life is the baggage claim. No, there's no bags. I mean, they are halted. All of the baggage claims, nothing is coming in. The lines to get to the check-in are back towards baggage claim. So if you are familiar with Hartsfield-Jackson, you know where the check-in counters are. Now, if you walk and walk and walk and walk, then you see the baggage claims. Now, that is where these lines to check in are going because a lot of folks are having issues trying to check in. And so they come to the airport, and then they have to wait in these long lines. And then after they finally make it through there, then they have to go through security to get to those lines. And part of it is these planes are now sitting on the tarmac. They have been waiting to take off. So it is this domino effect that have passengers sprawled out, sleeping, laying there, trying to figure out what they're going to do. I spoke with one woman who was traveling from the West Coast. She boarded a red-eye flight, was able to get on around 12:30 in the morning, but then had to land at 2 a.m. in another area, then had to come and take off. And she's trying to make her way to Charleston. And fortunately, her parents live in the Atlanta area. So she's like, I just called mom and dad, and they're going to come pick me up to wait. And this is a woman with kids of her own that was trying to get somewhere. But the rental cars are down. And so this is of those things where it is just a hot mess all over the place.
Michelle Wright joining us live on the Mark Arum Show. She is at the world's busiest airport. And I've been at the airport, and the biggest lines I've seen were getting through security. But from your reporting, it's just getting checked in. How are the folks at Delta and all the other airlines at the airport getting people checked into flights, if any flights are getting out? Is it paper tickets now?
You know what? I've not seen any paper tickets, okay, to be honest with you, but I have not, I've just kind of asked people how they're doing, because there is a lot of frustration. Early on when I was talking to folks, there were some people who just didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
And so now the communication is getting out to get people there. It's one of these interesting things that shows us how actually reliant we are on technology. And then when something goes down or there's a bug, how things just come grinding to a halt. Now, the interesting thing is airport operations are running smooth. Like, everything is running. It's up. The airport is able to do everything. It's the airlines that are having the issues. And so as I'm sitting here right now, there is a plane taking off. It's an American Airlines jet. Now, that's the first airplane I've seen take off in at least 20 minutes as I've been sitting here at the airport.
Yeah, I talked to Mark McKay this morning in the WSB Skycopter, and they were able to, because so few planes were coming and going, they were actually to fly over the airport runways, which is a rarity, just to give you an idea of how slow things have trickled down there. WSB's Michelle Wright, thanks for covering this big breaking story. I would love, if any of the Kathy families are listening, what a great PR move would be to just send like 6 Chick-fil-A trucks down there and hand out biscuits and sandwiches to all the folks that are working through this and all the folks that are waiting in lines. I think it's a great opportunity to get some good PR right now.
Yeah, definitely could work. And remember, once they get through security and to all the Chick-fil-A's that are at the airport, all those are open and running.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And
as are the other restaurants. Not giving a special shout out to anything, lest people think I'm being biased.
Absolutely. There's a ton of great dining options once you get through, once you get checked in and get through. And if the Chick-fil-A family's listening, Michelle prefers a buttered biscuit. That's her breakfast of choice. Michelle, thanks so much. Just be thankful. I know you like to travel. At least you don't have to travel this weekend.
Exactly. I was traveling last weekend. During that, happy to not have to be traveling this weekend.
That's the first thing I said when I saw this story. I woke up this morning and turned on Atlanta's Morning News like I do. And I was like, oh, my God, thank God Maya and I aren't going anywhere this weekend. How many travel plans are just crushed because of this global IT outage? All right, our team coverage continues now. CBS News travel expert Peter Greenberg, who was on with us yesterday from the Grand Canyon. Peter, first off, how has this global IT outage impacted you personally?
Well, my plane actually landed on time in Amsterdam only because it was already in the air. But once it landed, full ground stop, not even gates available because no plane is going in or going out until all the gates are occupied. And that's still the case now. You know, Amsterdam is a major European hub, and it's indicative of what's happening worldwide. You're talking with planes that are out of schedule, crews are out of sequence, they can't get planes in or out. And it's also affecting local fire departments here. They can't even operate their 911 system. Television stations have been kicked off the air here. Hospitals have banned or temporarily postponed all elective surgeries because the systems won't allow it to happen. So right now it's sort of like a manual override system here, and that could take hours.
We're seeing massive delays at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson, not getting through security, but just getting checked in. I've been to the Amsterdam airport a couple of times, really cool airport. Do you see similar delays there, folks getting to the airport and not being able to check in?
Well, they can check in. They're just not going anywhere. So the lounges are full, the gates are full, and nothing's moving. I mean, literally, imagine, we haven't seen this since 9/11, when you have a full ground stop on a worldwide basis.
Peter Greenberg, travel expert for CBS News, joining us on the Mark Arum Show. So folks that had flights booked today, what's your advice for them to do?
Well, remember this. Every time you have an airport, whether it's worldwide or just domestic, on one particular airport that's down for an hour, it takes them about 4 or 5 hours to get back on track because everything's out of sequence. Now when you have a worldwide situation, nothing gets back on track. It becomes exponentially deteriorating every 15 minutes. So there's a very good chance that most flights will not get out today. We're not talking on time. We're talking about if at all. And then hopefully by tomorrow, slowly about surely before noon tomorrow, assuming they fix it today, they can actually get back on track.
So this will be a long-range impact situation where not only impacting flights today, Friday, but Saturday, maybe even Sunday?
Oh, and then even in the next week. Remember, we're dealing with a summer in which every flight is full. There are no places to rebook you. So if your flight doesn't operate today, that doesn't mean they're going to rebook you on their first flight out tomorrow. That plane's already booked anyway. So people's plans may be disrupted for more than one day.
So hypothetically, if I had a flight that was leaving Hartsfield today at 2 p.m., I'm not the kind of guy that wants to go down to the airport and wait things out. Do I call the airport? Do I go online? What's the best MO for folks that don't want to get down to the airport and get stuck? What should we do prior to getting to the airport?
Well, remember, in order for the plane to leave Hartsfield, it's got to get to Hartsfield. And there are a number of great flight apps called FlightAware or Flight Radar 24 that can actually let you track the aircraft that's assigned to your flight to see where it is. And if the aircraft assigned to your flight is 8,000 miles away, you're not leaving at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Peter Greenberg, travel expert on the Mark Arum Show here, covering this massive global IT outage. Now, the IT folks say this wasn't a malicious attack. It was was just something that happened behind the scenes. There's a fix in place already. Does that make you feel better knowing that this wasn't some sort of a cyber attack?
Of course it makes you feel better. But remember, we ask this question every time it's happened. It happened before United Airlines. It happened at Southwest. It even happened back at Continental Airlines before they became United Airlines. The question that's always asked is, where's the backup system? How do we fly manually? I mean, at the end of the day, you got to have a backup system for reasons just as we're experiencing them today.
Peter, was Amsterdam your final destination, or were you connecting somewhere?
Oh, no, I was connecting somewhere, so I'm preparing to sleep.
Well, there's a wide variety of excellent lounges that you can relax at the Amsterdam airport, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, but they're also all full as well. Remember, most people don't fly to Amsterdam. They connect through it, so that's your big problem. These major European hubs are just as enjoyable as they are in Atlanta because it's all about the connections, and that's not happening.
If you don't mind me asking, where were you headed, and was it for your PBS show?
Yes, I was heading to Marseille to start a shoot there that would continue on to Sicily. And right now I have a camera crew. I don't know where they are. They were supposedly going to be changing planes in Paris, and that's the last we heard of them. So right now everybody's just stuck in place and waiting.
Wow, nightmare situation. CBS travel expert Peter Greenberg. Peter, safe travels. I hope you get to Marseille. I'm sure you're going to have a lovely time there. And really, thank you from all of us here in Atlanta for jumping on with us covering this huge breaking news story.
Hey, not a problem, Mark. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. Team coverage from Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson to Amsterdam. Great job getting Peter Greenberg on as he went from the Grand Canyon to Amsterdam to Marseille to Sicily. Love to be that dude. We'll continue our coverage of this massive IT outage. And we're kind of focused on travel right now, but you listening in your everyday life, has this impacted you at all? Are you seeing anything that we haven't covered with this IT outage? I'd love to hear from you if you're seeing impacts. 404-872-0750. All the social media is at Mark Arum.
There was blood pouring everywhere, and yet, in a certain way, I felt very safe because I had God on my side. I felt that.
President Trump last night at the RNC. Oh, we're not forgetting about the campaign today, even though we're covering the breaking global IT outage. Next half hour, we're going to go live to the floor of the Republican National Convention. Reporter Olivia Rinaldi is going to join us. And more questions swirl about the Biden campaign and its future. 10:35, political analyst Bill Crane going to join us live as well. So we got you covered left, right, and center here on the Mark Arum Show. Speaking of the Republican National Convention, so we've been talking to reporters there all week, Deborah Green, and the convention ended last night. And I mean, I know a lot of folks aren't going to feel sorry for the media covering the convention, but you think of all the delegates from Georgia that are there, right? Hundreds of people from Georgia went to the Republican National Convention to support former President Trump. And then they're like, all right, we're flying out Friday morning. And then you wake up in Milwaukee at the Radisson or wherever hell you're staying, and you wake up to this global IT outage. I feel horrible.
Yeah,
although Milwaukee's a cool town.
Look, you got the lake. We've got casinos right down the road. Summer in Wisconsin is kind of nicer than summer in Georgia.
For sure.
It's not as hot, it's not as humid. So if you're stuck there an extra day, go get some brats, have a beer, go check out the Pabst Mansion. You'll be fine.
Oh, there's a Pabst Mansion.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Blue Ribbon built the mansion?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Cool.
They own Milwaukee. Yeah.
So Peter Greenberg stuck in Amsterdam, Longoria, honeymoon there. That's a great place to be stuck. Milwaukee, fantastic. I just feel so bad for everyone that, you know, the delegates got to be exhausted. They've been cheering and staying up late all week, and they're like, finally, I can get home. I'm going to take the early flight out of Milwaukee back to Atlanta and sleep on the plane. And then they get to the airport and they're like, murr, murr, murr. Let's continue our team coverage of what's been going on with this global IT outage. Again, a lot of the focus is on travel, but this could also impact other businesses, other aspects of life. If you have firsthand knowledge of what else this IT outage is impacting, we'd love to hear from you at 404-872-0750. Mary Schiavo, she is the former Inspector General of the U.S. DOT. She is now also a travel expert on this IT outage and really global stoppage of planes.
Well, in terms of how often this happens, unfortunately, the answer is rather vague, but important, more. We have seen various outages with different systems. If you recall, last year we had a number of outages concerning air traffic control and the ability literally to control and separate the aircraft. This is different, that it includes data and transmissions on the cloud and cloud storage systems and connectivity and communications. So that affects all the scheduling, the timing, the crew scheduling, getting the planes up and out. So it's a little different than what we've seen sometimes in the past, but this is a massive outage, and obviously it's software that affects other companies. Getting back to normal, well, for aviation, if you have a hiccup in the morning, by the afternoon you're in total meltdown. So it won't be back to normal today, but the good news is the company has said, software company says they have rolled out a fix. So, you know, by tomorrow, things should be normal.
Yeah, hopefully. Again, seeing some upgrades. I take great pleasure in knowing this wasn't a cyber attack, right? They were updating their systems overnight. Something went wrong. They've already got a fix in place. This isn't a malicious actor trying to just take down our IT. Or maybe it is and they're not telling us. But at least they're telling us, no, it's fine. We got this. Now, Deborah, aside from COVID, I never call in sick here, right? I'm that guy. I'm more stoic than Longoria in that aspect. You never call in sick. But if I woke up this morning, let's say hypothetically, I'm a Delta counter person, a counter agent, the person that you go with, and I see this story on the news, I'm calling in sick. I'm going, boss, I can't do it. Can you imagine? I mean, tensions are already heightened at the airport anyway. And then you got to deal with 700 people waiting in line that are going to miss their flight. They got to reschedule. Nightmare. I feel so bad. And I know so many folks, especially at Delta, that listen to the show that are dealing with just an awful situation. Gosh, I'm not that guy, but I would be that guy today. I'd be like, nope, sorry, can't do it. Oh, I got to take my dog to the vet.
I would even make up, like, I have an electric car, and for some reason, the software is not linked up. I can't drive
it. Oh, I'd use my car.
Know?
I've got a donut. I've got this ugly donut tire on my car.
You still have it on?
Still there. Yeah, I did hear from Rocco's European Garage. The rim is going to be repaired, and I'll have it fixed on Monday. But through the weekend, I'll be riding on that embarrassing donut. Anyway, all right, Judd standing by with traffic, news, and weather. 3 minutes away, the latest on the global IT outage. We have an update, some more information on the would-be presidential assassin in Pennsylvania. We'll give you that next. And next half hour, we're going to go live to Milwaukee and get an update from the Republican National Convention and reporter Olivia Rinaldi. All the social medias are active, at Mark Arum, MarkArum. And you can now watch the show on Twitter, at Mark Arum. Back after this. Nine 9:37 on this IT outage Friday. Welcome back, friends. Mark Arum and crew with you till noon. Yes, Weird Al's going to join us live. Yes, we're going to talk to a real live American Ninja Warrior. But we're continuing our coverage of the massive global IT outage. Obviously, it's impacting travel. But how else are we impacted by this IT outage? Shikesi Idel is a reporter from KDKA in Pennsylvania.
This outage is affecting Microsoft's cloud services. It appears to be affecting its cybersecurity program, CrowdStrike. There are so many things, OneDrive, SharePoint, Word, that run on Microsoft technology. We also have security programs that help to secure our Microsoft computers as well.
Apparently, it interrupted Deborah's show prep today. I was not impacted by anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, nothing.
Yeah, I couldn't get to a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so how has this IT outage impacted you personally? 404-872-0750. Matt joins us in Suwannee. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. Happy Friday to you.
Right back at you, brother. So what else is being impacted by this IT outage?
Well, going to the tag office is never quite my favorite thing to do, and the state's motor vehicle registration system is down. So I'm up here in Gwinnett County and being told to check back in a little later. But somehow my email still works. So they didn't hit the right button to disable that.
Interesting. So when you say the tag office, does that mean like there's a 16-year-old going to get his license today? He or she can't take the driving test, or is it not that far reaching?
No, just for me, I'm trying to transfer a title, register a new vehicle. So a lot of cars are coming in that maybe they just purchased a vehicle. They're trying to renew their tag. And we're being met at the door with these notices letting them know that the system is down for the
state. Interesting. All right. So the at least in Gwinnett, we don't know if that's statewide. Great update, Matt. Thanks for that. Adam is in Grayson. Adam, welcome to the Mark Arum Show.
Hey, what's up, Mark? Just a side note before I start. So, you know, the Piccadilly Hot Mama with all the kids?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
That's my sister-in-law. Her husband's my brother. They've got 10 now, and they're 10. Doing well.
How are they doing, by the way?
They're doing great. They're doing really well. No complaints. So every time you happen to mention them on the show, they get a kick out of it.
Before we get to your call, let me just, for folks that are new to the show in this time slot, years ago I went to the Piccadilly on Howell Mill, and you know, it was my favorite joint. And I walked in there, and there was a couple, a younger couple with, at that point, did they had 7 or 8 kids, Adam?
Yes, something like that. Probably around 7, maybe at that time.
And they were so well behaved. I was blown away. And I did mention that the mom was extremely attractive as well. And I talked about them on the air. And then, and I guess your brother, is that you said it was your brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to, he was listening, or someone told him, and he called in, and we talked to him. And so it's the Piccadilly family. We'll never forget them. So thanks for the reminder there. All right, Adam, what do you got on this IT outage for us?
So I work for a utility construction company, and everybody in our firm woke up this morning to their computers basically just on the cycle of restarting. You know, it boots up, and right when it would let you log in, it would just do that blue screen of death thing and then restart. So what we have found is that, you know, like everybody's mentioned, this CrowdStrike, it's some sort of third-party, you know, security service that Microsoft uses. It seems like they pushed an update last night, and there's something going on with that update that is causing all kinds of problems. But in our case, it's just forcing the computers to reboot over and over. So
you can't do any work then, right? I mean, offline, I guess.
Originally, yeah. Our IT gal is extremely smart, so she found a workaround. She had us go into boot up the computer through the command prompt, and then she entered in these fancy commands to uninstall this particular driver update that was pushed in this night.
Well, listen, take the IT lady to Piccadilly for lunch today. Treat her for lunch today.
I know, right?
Yeah. Hey, Adam, appreciate the update. Love to your in-laws. So I actually just thought about this because, I turned on Atlanta's Morning News. I was get out of the shower. I'm shaving, and I'm listening to Chris Chandler and Michelle Wright update this story. So it did impact me. So I come into the studio here, and the last person to use the studio is our friend Shelly Winter. And I love Shelly like a brother, but he never logs off the freaking computer, ever. So every morning I'd come in, it's like, Shelly Winter's logged on. And normally, I just reset the computer. But I stopped myself today. I said, ooh, if I reset it, I wonder if it'll turn back in. So I went to switch user instead of restart. So I'm kind of smart. It could have impacted me. If I'd restarted the computer, I could have gotten that blue screen of death. But we'll continue to update what's going on with that the IT outage globally and how else it is what other things it is impacting. I want to get to an update though on the shooter, the would-be presidential assassin. We've got some new information, and every day we're getting new information, and I really appreciate the FBI doing it. Zach Cohen's been following this story for us.
Now we're learning more about what law enforcement has found on the cell phone and the online search history of the Trump rally shooter, and what it might say about a potential motive or the shooter's mindset at the time of the attack. Now, as you mentioned, one of the things investigators have found is that the shooter did research Ethan Crumbly, the school shooter who killed 4 of his classmates in Michigan in 2021. But also interesting because the shooter appears to have researched Crumbly's parents, who were also indicted and convicted of involuntary manslaughter connected to their son's school shooting. In addition to the research about Crumbly, we're also learning that the shooter looked up how to make explosives online and also looked up both the location and time of the Democratic National Convention as well as future Trump rallies. That's part of the reason why investigators say they haven't been able to identify a clear political ideology or motive behind this shooting. And we're told by one official that there is an emerging theory amongst investigators that the shooter simply knew that he wanted to carry out a mass casualty attack and that the Trump rally in Pennsylvania provided the most ample opportunity and the most obvious opportunity and the easiest opportunity to carry that out. So we'll have to see. The FBI is building a behavioral profile of the shooter that will help inform their ultimate analysis about what his motive may have been. But the investigation continues, John, and identifying the mindset of the shooter is a key part of that.
Just insane. Again, it's still preliminary, but he was searching everybody. He apparently right now, we don't know for sure, but it seems like he just wanted to do a mass shooting. He didn't care if it was Trump or Biden or Johnson or Kamala. It didn't matter. He just wanted to be that person. And the fact that he Googled that other school shooting where the parents were held responsible. So obviously in his mindset, he's like, oh, if I do this, what's going to happen to my parents? Absolutely sick. Any new information on the shooting, we will bring it to you live here on 95.5 WSB. The shooting was brought up on stage last night by the former president at the Republican National Convention. When we go get back, we're going to go live to Milwaukee. She's probably stranded there. CBS reporter Olivia Rinaldi's been at the convention all week. She joins us live next on The Mark Arum Show.
I also spoke to all three families of these tremendous people. Our love and prayers are with them and always will be. We're never going to forget them.
President Trump last night in his acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention. Our coverage of the convention continues on The Mark Arum Show. Joining us live from Milwaukee, CBS Radio News reporter Olivia Rinaldi. First, before last night, Olivia, and convention recap, are you stranded in Milwaukee because of the IT outage?
I am stranded in Milwaukee. We've had a lot of flight delays and a lot of flight rebooking, so I am stuck in the Midwest as for now.
Oh, you must be exhausted, too, because you've been doing amazing coverage all week. Last night, any surprises from the former president as he accepted a nomination?
You know, as someone who attends a Trump rally about once a week as part of my job, there was nothing surprising to me last night besides his initial demeanor when he came on the stage. It was a different Donald Trump than I'm used to seeing. He was quiet. He seemed pensive. He seemed reflective on the events that happened last Saturday, the near assassination attempt that he survived. So it seemed to me there that he really, it impacted him a lot. And you could see it in the way he was talking. You could see it in the way he was recounting the moment. But then as he continued on in his speech, you know, Trump became Trump. It became like the same rally speech that I expected to hear in Butler on Saturday, talking about immigration, talking about border policy, America First agenda on economics. So no shock to me there, but for how he acted at the start.
So the way I'm reading the story, Livy, is, you know, the former president said he ripped up his original speech after the assassination attempt and wrote another one. But maybe he just rewrote the beginning, the first 10 or 15 minutes, and then went to what he had prepared prior to the assassination attempt.
It would appear that way. We were, it seems that at the very top, him recounting the near assassination attempt obviously was new material. We had not heard from him really in depth since that tragic day happened. But for the rest of it, it was the same company lines that I've been hearing over and over from the former president.
Years ago, an unknown named Barack Obama became a star at the Democratic National Convention. Did anyone become a star at the RNC this weekend? Someone that really captured the audience that maybe we weren't familiar with before?
I think everyone's pretty familiar with him, but Hulk Hogan, I have to say, really did get that crowd going last night. He had a little bit of an electric performance. I think that had everyone, piqued everyone's interest in some way or another. It was interesting to hear from J.D. Vance as well, the vice presidential pick and the senator from Ohio. He obviously was his first time really on the national stage delivering a major speech like that. I think he captivated the audience a little bit there, although it was slow at times. But, yeah, quite a list of speakers he had this week.
What about Kai? Kai Trump, the president's granddaughter, she seemed to make a pretty good impression.
You know, she did. And also for her, it was the first time she was really able to introduce herself to the national stage. We don't really hear from the Trump grandchildren, but they're starting to get of that age, you know, where they're 16, 17, 18 into their later teen years, and they want to be out in public and talking about their grandfather. And also Kai is someone who is well known within the golf community. She's an excellent golfer. I think I can say that as someone who golfs myself and perhaps not able to swing the club the way she does. But I really do think, you know, this is just a new step we're seeing of the Trump family really becoming showing their political acumen.
Olivia, great coverage all week. I hope you get to your next destination safely and within the next couple of days. But we really appreciate your coverage. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
There you go. Olivia Rinaldi, campaign reporter for you hear her voice.
She's
been
ready
working
to go
those
home.
Long hours at the convention. And again, like all the media that are there, and all the delegates, especially the Georgia delegates, they're stuck in Milwaukee. I guess go ahead and enjoy it. Life throws you a curveball.
Chances are you're never going to go back there, you know, unless there's something big. So enjoy it. Yeah.
Go see the Pabst Mansion.
It's beautiful.
Go see a Brewers game if they're in town.
Yeah, Gallbrewers.
Yeah, interesting. All right, so great stuff there. We'll continue to get more reaction from the Republican National Convention. And maybe more importantly, the future of the Biden campaign. Political analyst Bill Crane's going to join us live at 11:35. I do want to quickly update the Israel-Hamas war. Really tragic story. A drone packed with explosives launched by the Iran-backed Houthis in Yemen hit an apartment building in central Tel Aviv. Killed one Israeli man. Our buddy CBS News reporter Linda Gradstein has the latest from Jerusalem.
Israeli Army spokesman Daniel Hagari said the drone, which hit an apartment building just a few blocks from the American consulate in Tel Aviv, was fired from Yemen. He said the drone was an upgraded Iranian Samad 3 with a long-range capability. There were no sirens sounded in Israel, and it was not shot down, apparently because of human error. Hagari also said that there are increasing signs that the number two official in Hamas, Mohammed Deif, was killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza last week. Linda Gradstein for CBS News, Jerusalem.
Yeah, human error apparently allowed that explosive drone to strike Tel Aviv, which is a major city. So now the Houthis are ramping up things, not just in the Red Sea, but actually striking in Israel, the state of Israel. We'll monitor that story throughout the day and the weekend here on 95.5 WSB. Again, the big story this morning, massive global IT outage, not only impacting us here in the United States, but also overseas. Elizabeth Palmer's in London.
Our IT engineers here at CBS in London confirmed that was true. Some of our computer systems, when we came in this morning, were offline, but they are working again. This fix is simple, but it's time-consuming, as every computer that's affected has to be tweaked individually.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. My buddy JR on the Piccadilly text line said a lot of credit card processors are down this morning. And apparently it might be impacting if you're trying to make a donation to the WSB Carathon, it might not go through right now.
I heard that for one of the London airports, maybe Gatwick, that it was cash only, which how many people carry cash only at this point, really?
I always have a little.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But is it enough for if you're traveling? Yeah.
No. Especially after Longoria's daughters came in and I just gave a fistful of cash. Do they still remember that? Was that a good move?
Yeah. Yeah. It's already gone.
But yeah. But they'll forever remember Uncle Mark.
They're probably wondering, Dad, when can we go back?
Can we go back?
There you go. All right. When we come back, speaking of the IT outage, we're going to talk to a technology expert, cyber expert, and an Emory professor. We'll check the local angle here. Obviously, massive delays at the world's busiest airport. Then we'll get into campaign 2024. What is going to happen with the Biden-Harris ticket? Bill Crane, political analyst, joins us live. And, next hour, bury the lead. Weird Al Yankovic live on the Mark Arum Show. Deborah, you got to think of what Weird Al song we're going to play when he joins us. So you think about that as our musical correspondent. Show's live on Twitter. You can watch us on the videos at Mark Arum, MarkArum. Welcome back to the show and a good Friday morning to you. Mark Arum here. You there. It's 10:05, 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. This is the Mark Arum Show, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon on 95.5 WSB. Everybody here on a Donut Friday, Deborah Green, the executive producer of the show, Longoria, the stoic Eskimo on the other side of the takeout window, Sweet Pea Purnell screens your calls. 30 minutes from now, political analyst Bill Crane's going to join us live on the questions swirling the Biden campaign. And then at 10:50, I don't know how she did it, but Deborah Green has booked us live, Weird Al Yankovic. And then we're going to go back to Milwaukee. So much to talk about today, including our top story, which is this global IT outage that is impacting travel and banking, the DMV, et cetera, et cetera. Joining us live, he's a digital expert, Emory Professor Rajiv Garg. Professor, good morning. Thanks for your time.
thank you. Good morning.
First question I have to ask is how did this happen? Do we have any idea what went on to cause this global outage?
So I think the software that CrowdStrike uses to monitor malware and the virus, they updated the definition file or the channel file, as they call it, on the systems this morning, updated all the systems that are using CrowdStrike, and that file sort of had an issue with one of the Microsoft processes, which made the systems crash.
Interesting. Professor, are you on a wireless Bluetooth or on speakerphone or something?
I'm on the Bluetooth.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. Can you disconnect from that? I just want to get a second because I really want – this is such an important issue. I want to make sure we hear everything that you say. Again, we're talking to digital expert Emory Professor Rajiv Garg here live on the Mark Arum Show, continuing the IT global outage coverage, massive delays at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. And we heard from Peter Greenberg. He is stuck, stranded at the airport in Amsterdam. So this is not just a local issue. This is a global issue. And here locally, we heard some problems at the TAG office in Gwinnett County. Back with the professor now. Professor, I'm sorry. So this was a software issue, not a terrorist or a malware attack.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. So the CrowdStrike, the company that monitors the virus and malware, they updated their software sometime, I guess, yesterday. And this is automatically updated on every machine using their another software called Falcon. And because of that, that update caused the systems to crash.
Now, how big, I mean, obviously it's global, but what market share does this software penetrate? You know, how many folks use stuff, the software that would have been impacted by this failed update?
So I don't know the exact number of the number of clients for CrowdStrike, but almost every large enterprise, or not every large, but like I would assume about 25 to 30% of large enterprises use CrowdStrike.
So massive. I mean, that's a massive market share. That's pretty big.
Correct.
All right. We're hearing word of trouble with credit card processing. Is that, you know, going to impact folks going to the drive-through fast food restaurants, going to a Target or a Walmart?
Most of these operating systems that process credit card, they have their own operating system based on Linux. There are some that are based on Windows. So the impact is only on certain version of Windows operating system. So if you have a point of sale system, those are running on a separate operating system. They should be fine. But if you're running a Windows machine, then you might want to check if you're using a CrowdStrike, maybe you want to update that right now or make sure that the internet is available for it to automatically update.
Now, CrowdStrike says they've already got a fix implemented. How long will it take for everything to get back to normal? Any guesses?
So technically, if you are not if a person is not seeing the error or system crashing, the fix will automatically happen within minutes. Like the moment the computer is on, the software will sort of update itself, revert to the older file, and everything should be good. But if the system is crashing, then it's a manual process. Then if you know the technology, the CrowdStrike has a solution on their webpage. You need to log into the Windows machine in safe mode, or actually using another operating system like on a flash drive, you need to delete the file that is actually updated manually and then restart the system. Now, if a person can handle that technology of launching in safe mode and deleting, it should be a few minutes. But if you need somebody to come in, I'm assuming most of the IT companies that actually handle system management, maintenance, they will be busy this morning.
Professor,
so it may take the whole day.
Oh, no doubt. And I certainly don't know how to do that myself. So I'll be leaning on our IT folks here at WSB Radio. I'm assuming that the cost of this outage is going to be in the billions of dollars globally, if not hundreds of billions, especially in the airline travel. We saw how many flights have been canceled, how many more will be delayed. Will there be, you know, any recompense from CrowdStrike? Will they be held liable for some of these billion-dollar losses?
You're spot on. I think they should be because they actually updated a software with issue. They did not test it correctly. What they will say is they were seeing this as a potential malware threat, and that's why they created the update and deployed it faster. Now, this is the blue pill, red pill kind of a scenario. Like, I want to update because there is a potential malware attack that could happen, or maybe I should not update and maybe take that risk. So, I mean, what is that argument? How does the law play in that situation? I can't tell right now. But you're right. I mean, this could have massive losses, and I do think CrowdStrike would be held liable for at least some part of it.
Yeah, I would imagine. Final question for you, Professor. For someone that uses a shared computer in the studio, the host that's on before me never logs off. How can I get my coworker, my friend, my colleague to log off our shared computer? Any suggestions?
No, maybe put a sticky note, or I would open, I mean, some AI-generated meme for that person, like put it as a wallpaper.
Can you, as a digital expert, is there any, bad actors that could take advantage of Shelley Winter not logging off this computer? Does it make it vulnerable?
So, yes. So there are issues. it depends on who can access it when the person is not logged off.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, there are a lot of things that I shouldn't be saying over the radio.
They understood.
That we could do.
luckily, I know Shelley's password, Trump2024, dollar sign, so I'm able to do it. Hey, Professor Rajiv Garg, Emory University digital expert, thank you so much for your insight and your time. Are you off during the summer, or do you teach summer school?
I teach executive education summer.
Oh. There you go. Well, I'm unfortunately not bright enough to ever take one of your classes, but the listeners do appreciate your insight. Have a great weekend, Professor.
You too.
There you go. Come on, Shelley, log off this thing. That's what caused the whole outage. 19th day in a row, Shelley forgot to log off the studio computer. All right, we'll continue to monitor the IT outage. Some good news there from the professor. Hopefully we're out of the worst of it. We'll be right back. It's the Mark Arum Show on 95.5 WSB.
Thank you very much.
Speaking of Trump via the Piccadilly text line, Shelley Winter, you hear him live every night, 7 to 9 on WSB. He said he has now had to change his password because I gave it out over the air. And he said best leave him a sticky note to remind him to log off. All kidding aside, Shelley's amazing. I don't care if you don't log off. Just you keep the studio clean. Me, you, and Erickson, keep the studio clean. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to point fingers, but... three of the four hosts keep this studio very clean. Speaking of Trump, we're going to go back live to Milwaukee at 11:05. Hadriana Lohenkron from Bloomberg News is going to join us. Bill Crane in 15 minutes on the questions swirling around the Biden campaign. And at 10:50, make sure you check back in. Weird Al Yankovic live. He's got a new album coming out, new single. Very excited about that. I want to go back to the IT outage, and we started the show with Michelle Wright down live at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. Before this outage, we were going to talk about an airport story. One of the most annoying things in the changes of TSA security post 9/11 is the lack of liquids. I don't know how many times I've been caught with a water bottle I forgot in my backpack, or the mouthwash is, you have too much a big bottle of a mouthwash and you're pulled. They might be easing the restrictions on large liquids, Deborah.
It looks like in the very new future, maybe as soon as next year, that we'll be able to have full-size liquids on again because of new technology and AI and the way 3D scanning works. So you won't have to worry about those tiny little bottles. And I can say, as a girl with long curly hair, if this means I can bring all of my hair gel with me, this is a great thing.
And it's caused me, this liquid ban, I've always had to check my bag because I take liquids when I travel, whether it's shaving cream or toothpaste or shampoo. So you can't put them in your carry-on. So I've always got to check bags to get that. Or if I don't, I got to buy new stuff in whatever city I'm going. What's the timeline this on again?
So right now it says in the near future, but it's mostly going to be in Europe to start. And they're thinking sometime in the summer of next year might be as early as some of the more advanced airports anyway.
All right. Some good news.
So it'll
there.
Probably take another 2 years before it gets to the United
Speaking
States.
Speaking of 9/11, so I'm doing show prep and I cut through the screener's room and Sweet Pea's in there with a box cutter. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing, Sweet Pea? And you could tell he's former military. He's got not just one of those cheap plastic orange guys. He's got a legit metal box cutter. And I'm like freaking out a little bit. What are you doing, Sweet Pea? He was opening a pack of honey with a box cutter to, I guess, put in his tea or something. It was very startling. You can't bring box cutters into the screener's booth, Sweet, no matter what your intentions are. I thought that was interesting. One more story. It's not too bad right now. 77 degrees in Midtown Atlanta. 6.5. It might climb on the Mark Arum Show back sweat meter. But we've seen these record temperatures. The World Series of Poker just wrapped up in Vegas. And it was, I think it was 4 or 5 straight days. The temperature reached 120 degrees. And it leads to the question, how hot is too hot for humans? And we have an answer to that, Deborah.
Yeah, it says so about 110 degrees Fahrenheit is pretty much the most a person can tolerate for any long period of time. And if your core temperature gets to 100, it's only a matter of time before you will actually start to physically wilt away and almost die.
So a prolonged 110.
Yes. So if you're in 110 for a long time, and I know people are like, oh, but it gets 120 or even in some places in Asia. But because you have ways to cool down or even liquids or going to a pool or something. But if you stay in 110 for long periods of time.
So what about, so I mentioned Vegas.
They have air conditioning.
Yeah, but homeless people. Like what, if you're a homeless person.
You try to find some shade. You try to find some water to keep yourself cool. But I mean, wasn't there a story in Arizona where someone burned their feet just by stepping on concrete because it was so hot?
I don't doubt it. That's why I can't deal with the desert. I can't. I make this promise, this solemn vow to you folks. I'm never moving to Arizona or New Mexico or Texas. You have deserts in Texas, right?
It feels like a desert. Yeah.
Your family's down in
Texas. Yeah, they're down in
Texas.
So it's not too far from where Andrew's family is. Like all summer, it'll be over 100 degrees for about 2 months. Yeah. I mean, you just stay in the air condition.
Yeah. I'm going to move up north. I'm going to move to
Maine.
Canada, Maine, something. I can't deal with 110 every day, 120 every day.
Well, you wouldn't be able to. You would die.
Do we have an update, by the way? That's right. On your Netflix sharing account, have you figured out who's sharing it?
I logged in yesterday. There wasn't anything there, so hopefully I shamed them enough to stop looking at it.
Okay, good. I do have a Netflix update. I'm a super user of Netflix, all the streaming apps, Prime and Hulu and all that. There are coming some changes coming for Netflix subscribers. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez has the story.
If you want to watch your favorite shows on Netflix without interruptions,
what if I wanted to open a restaurant?
You may have to pay more. The streamer is phasing out its lowest priced $11.99 a month ad-free option in hopes of driving more viewers to its cheaper ad-supported plan. Netflix had already quit offering basic ad-free subscriptions to new customers a year ago, but anyone who'd already been on the plan had been allowed to remain if they didn't cancel or change plans. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
I don't know what plan I'm on. I don't have ads. But I think my price went up, so I got an alert on my phone from my credit card every time there's a new charge to my credit card, and it came out, it was like $22.
Yeah, everybody's price went up.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, no matter what it was, everybody's plan went up, and then they got rid of the lowest plan possible.
Hmm. All right, that's still a bargain. I know I'm not getting paid to promote Netflix, but $22 a month, and there's so much to watch. You can't get to the end of Netflix. I mean, you can get to the end of stuff you want to watch, but you can't. There's no end to the amount of energy. That's still a bargain. I'll pay. I hope they're not listening. Up to $50 a month, I think. That's when I say, all right, that's too much.
Thanks.
But that's me personally.
Yeah.
You could charge me that.
That's the Mark Arum plan.
Yeah.
That's not
Don't
Andrew
charge
and I's
anyone
plan.
Else that. It's still a really good deal. You have access. If I could only, I would pay $22 a month just to have access to all 7 seasons of Gilmore Girls. That alone is worth $22 a month. I'm not afraid to admit it. Can you get Mama Gilmore on? She's got a book out.
I've reached out to them several times.
I would like to do that. All right, Sabrina, standing by with news, weather, and traffic. When we come back, we'll update the global IT outage, and we're going to go in-depth on campaign 2024. Is this the last weekend that Joe Biden remains atop the Democratic ticket? Political analyst Bill Crane joining us live next on The Mark Arum Show. . 10:38 on The Mark Arum Show, 12 minutes away. We're going to have live on the broadcast the icon, Weird Al Yankovic. He's not weird. He's a great political analyst. His name is Bill Crane. He joins us live, as he does every Friday on the Mark Arum Show. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, sir. Although having an adjective like that in front of your name has its benefits.
That's true.
You don't really have to kind of explain what you do. It's just sort of all packaged out there in the brand.
Even-keeled Bill Crane joins us live on the Mark Arum Show. Bill, I want to look back at the RNC, but I think obviously maybe the bigger story is the future of the Biden campaign. Rumors swirling that this weekend the president might pass the torch and say he is going to pull himself off the ticket. What are the odds that happens?
When he had his two one-on-one interviews recently with George Stephanopoulos of ABC News and Lester Holt, the anchor at NBC News, he kind of left himself two paths out to repeated questions from both of them about passing the torch, et cetera. And he said if God himself came down and told him that he needed to go, he would leave. Or if his health prevented him from serving or running a strong campaign against Donald Trump. Well, he now has COVID. So when you're 81 years old, even if you're on Paxlovid, and even if it appears to be in a mild case initially, there are still pretty significant dangers here. Most physicians recommend you don't fly because of your lung capacity being compromised. I think this gives him a potential out with some dignity, and I do not believe that he'll resign as president or hand the reins over to Kamala Harris, but I do believe this allows him the path to release his delegates, which gives them back to the convention, strongly endorse Kamala Harris, which appears to be the most likely path, and then if he's as serious as he has been about taking on Donald Trump, he's part of the campaign team and gives his full-throated endorsement and support to Kamala Harris or whomever the nominee the DNC picks. But it increasingly appears if there is a change, it's going to be to the vice president.
We heard Sabrina just update the poll numbers nationally. Trump with his largest lead ever. And in the poll battleground states, we had poll numbers yesterday, Trump leading every single one of them. Biden had said previously, if someone could show me I don't have a path to win, then I'll reconsider staying in the race. I mean, what more concrete evidence does he need to show that he's losing in every single battleground state?
We have reports that kind of over a period of days, Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader in the U.S. House, Chuck Schumer, the majority leader in the U.S. Senate, and Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi all had one-on-ones with President Biden and showed him some of the polling data you're referencing, as well as other single-state polls that demonstrate the down-ticket impact of Joe Biden staying at the top and how that could impact state legislatures and congressional races and basically not only give Donald Trump back the White House, but the Republicans taking back the U.S. Senate, expanding their majority in the U.S. House, and then having significant wins down-ticket. We may, you know, looking back, Ronald Reagan in 1980 benefited tremendously from Jimmy Carter conceding at 9 p.m. Eastern time, forgetting in a day of not early voting and no very limited absentees that the polls were still open in the Rocky Mountains and the West Coast, and there were huge down-ticket impacts in Congress. That was the last time that the California legislature had a significant Republican presence and almost a majority in their delegation. Pete Wilson won the governorship in California and got reelected in 1984. So presidential election years, when you have a top-of-the-ticket race that's hotly contested, voters tend to vote state party. There are people that jump back and forth, but it would have tremendous impact if Joe Biden goes forward with what appears to be a damaged candidacy in a weakened state for the Democratic Party.
Political analyst Bill Crane joining us live. Yesterday on the show, Bill, I said if Biden steps down or not, you know, relinquishes his spot on the top of the ticket, it's a win-win situation for him. And by that, I mean, if he passes the torch to Kamala Harris, say, you go ahead and run, and she wins, that cements his legacy as a guy that, you know, ran that third leg of the 4x100 meters and then passed the baton, and Kamala came in and win and saved democracy, right? That's the question.
I agree with you, and I think in all three of those visits we talked about a second ago, his legacy was part of it. It was saying that if Donald Trump and a Republican Congress in both chambers go in, everything you've worked on the last, you know, 4 years plus the 8 years in the Obama administration likely gets dismantled.
Yeah. And the other side of that weight is if he does pass the torch and Kamala or whomever loses in November, then he can say, I told you I was the only one that could beat him. So there's no downside for him to literally just say, all right, I'm not going to run again. It's win-win.
he and Jill have a very nice mansion in Rehoboth Beach that he's visiting and he's staying in right now. And he have another nice house in Delaware. He's 81, retire, enjoy life. He's got children and grandchildren. And, you know, if he wants to have a presidential library, all that stuff takes time and money as well. And I think a lot of the donors are effectively sitting on the sidelines that are not going to come off with the current ticket.
Bill, I got a minute left. Your reaction to President Trump's acceptance speech yesterday and the RNC as a whole?
Which speech? He gave two. I would say what I saw for the first 25 minutes of his speech was very effective. The discussions of the near loss of life, the angel on his shoulder that he believes helped that bullet not hit him, or more devastatingly than his ear. The announcement of $6.3 million that he's privately raised already to benefit the families of the man killed and the two that were seriously injured at Butler, Pennsylvania. But as he appeared to be wrapping up at about the 25-30 minute mark with some quotes from the Declaration of Independence, he veered into rally Trump and then went on another 60 minute kind of all over the place rumbled rant talking about the 2020 election, talking about a variety of kind of red meat issues. But the crowd in the room erupted, and they reacted favorably to that. So he just kept going, and I think he missed an opportunity, because all week, sitting in the gallery, looking with his grandchildren in his lap, smiling, listening to other people talk, there was a new perception of him building on the back of the assassination attempt. And I think instead of closing that and perhaps doing some bridge building across, he instead turned and just played to the base in the room. And I think he didn't harm himself, but he did not take advantage of what was a significant opportunity.
Bill, do me a favor. Keep your phone on this weekend. Just saying.
Yeah.
We might be calling
on
you.
That and phasers on stun. I'll
there
be ready.
Go. All right. Political analyst Bill Crane. Bill, as always, a pleasure. Have a great weekend, my friend. All right. Buckle up, folks. When we come back, joining us live at the Mark Arum Show, Weird Al Yankovic. That's next on 95.5 WSB. Celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Mandatory Fun, you're listening to an all-new polka medley, Polka Mania. DJ Longori, keep it playing. Major influence on Gen Xers and the younger generations is the legend Weird Al Yankovic. Again, celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Mandatory Fun. That's an all-new polka medley, Polka Mania. Joining us live, the icon himself, Weird Al Yankovic. Mr. Yankovic, good morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
I know you've done a million of these interviews, so I'm going to ask you a question I'm pretty sure you've never been asked to start up. You ready?
Uh-oh. Okay, let's do it.
Do you remember the guy that accidentally poked you in the eye at the Greek Theater in L.A.?
Are you that guy?
No, but that's my brother. That's my brother. He wanted to know if you remembered that.
No, I actually don't, but please give him my best.
Fantastic. First of all, happy anniversary. Congrats on the new single. This is amazing. I got to ask.
Thank you.
So you've put up so many classics through over the years. Since you don't make albums anymore, are you able to listen to new music now without your, like, parody music muscle kicking in?
Well, I never did that even when I was in the thick of it. I mean, I could always listen to music just for my own enjoyment and not always think, oh, how can I screw this one up? but I will say that now that I'm not on an album schedule, I'm not as focused on the charts. I'm not like listening to top 40 radio anymore. I kind of listen to the stuff I like to listen to. And, you know, I'm just a little bit more free form in my music listening habits.
Gotcha. You know, the last three tours you've done all had a theme. Are you planning a new tour? And if so, is there going to be a theme to it?
I wish I could tell you. I'm kind of sworn to secrecy. I've got a lot of stuff in development. You know, I think it's a pretty safe bet that at some point I'll be back out on the road. But I can't really talk about what it's going to be or when or where or anything like that. But stay tuned.
I respect that, and that's a good tease for your fans to know. Oh, he's got something in the hopper, so that's at least good to hear. I got to ask you another question. With the success of Weird, the Al Yankovic story, any plans to write or produce any more film projects going forward?
Well, you know, I said when that movie came out that I put out a major motion picture every 33 years like clockwork. So it might be a little, you know, actually the biopic did so well. It won Emmys. It was critically acclaimed. And, you know, I might, you know, truncate my schedule a little bit. And if we're lucky, it might be less than 33 years. We'll see.
Interesting. I mean, UHF, oh, my God, what a classic. I mean.
Oh, thank you.
If it takes you 33 years to do another classic, you take your time, Mr. Yankovic.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the support.
You know, so many generations of comedians that come up after you all cite you as an influence and someone they've always been a fan of, me included. Are you at a place now where you can feel the love and recognition from the industry that you've always deserved?
Yeah. I mean, it's really nice. I mean, a lot of the titans of the industry, the people heading record labels and movie studios, a lot of those people were 12 years old, you know, listening to Weird Al albums, you know. And so it's nice that, I can get a meeting pretty much anywhere. People will, oh, yeah, Weird Al can come in, pitch us, whatever. So that's nice.
A lot of voiceover work and animation you've done. It's usually comedy. Have you ever thought of doing, you know, some serious acting, or are you just going to stay in your lane?
I enjoy comedy. I don't really have any strong desire to be any kind of dramatic actor. I don't really think I have the chops or the demeanor for that. Although I will say I did at least one thing, an animated piece for where I played a character called the Doll Maker for a Batman and Robin DC feature, which was very creepy. It was very out of my wheelhouse, and that was I don't know how much of that kind of stuff I want to do, but that was a nice little detour.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you'd crush it. You I could see you playing opposite Daniel Day-Lewis in some sort of amazing performance. So listen, 10-year anniversary of Mandatory Fund, all new polka medley, Polka Mania. Tell us about artists that that might be featured on this.
Oh, gosh, just off the top of my head, I think Billie Eilish, Adele, Miley Cyrus, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Olivia Rodrigo, Lil Nas X, Louis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee, Ed Sheeran, Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars, Cardi B featuring Megan Thee Stallion, Ariana Grande, Taylor Swift. I don't know. I just off the top of my head.
You just named everyone but Lee Greenwood, I think. is going to be on that.
He's on the next one.
We played a little bit of coming in. Folks want a download. I guess that's the thing now. You download stuff.
You can stream it. You can download it. You can steal it. However you want to ingest it into your system. It's out there for your amusement there right now.
Weird Al Yankovic, I'm going to belatedly apologize for my brother poking you in the eye at the Greek Theater in L.A. And if you and I ever meet, I will not.
All is forgiven.
I will not physically assault you like my brother did.
It's a deal.
Thank you
so much.
Weird Al, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck, and we look forward to your future projects. Great stuff there. There it is. Huge influence for me. Tim Andrews, too, I know, is a huge fan. All right, Sabrina's got your news, weather, and traffic. When we come back live to Milwaukee, updating the Republican National Convention here on 95.5 WSB. Talk
to myself for hours. No, I want this town to be near you. I stand alone.
11:06 on this extremely busy Friday. Welcome back, friends. Mark Arum and crew with you till noon. In just a little bit, we'll update the global IT outage. 30 minutes from now, we're going to talk to Ricky Vu, who is Atlanta's own American Ninja Warrior. Deborah's got tickets to give away. And so great to talk to Weird Al Yankovic right there. Again, we are discussing the Republican National Convention. It concluded last night.
Bullets were flying over us, yet I felt serene.
Joining us live from Milwaukee, she's been covering the convention all week. It's Bloomberg's Hadriana Lowencrown. Hadriana, good morning. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
You must be exhausted. What's this week been like for you covering the RNC?
Well, it has been quite a time. I mean, you know, it's my first convention, and so I didn't, you know, I've been told kind of what to expect. But, you know, I will say from everyone that I've spoken to, this convention was really like no other. I mean, you really could see unity from the party in support of Trump. It began, you know, Monday night with all of his former primary rivals, one after the other, after the other. Of course, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley. I mean, everyone coming out here, throwing their support behind him. The energy was you know, full of excitement. And of course, just a stark contrast from, you know, what had happened just a few days prior, Saturday in Pennsylvania, with the assassination attempt.
Yeah, there's so many factors that went into that. So the 2016 convention, you know, Donald Trump didn't have the complete support of the party yet. 2020, right. COVID, no convention. Mm-hmm. And then this year's convention, on the heels, just days after a failed assassination attempt. I mean, you add up all those factors, I'm surprised the roof's still on the arena.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we were told that Trump would revamp his speech and others as well in light of it to focus more on unity. We did see that definitely in the beginning, obviously, several minutes just in excruciating detail, the events that led up to the assassination attempt and the immediate aftermath. But we did see as things went on, you know, this, of course, the longest convention speech in kind of modern, you know, TV history. As things unwinded, there were definitely some more kind of gripes with the state of the country. And it actually at some point kind of felt more rally-esque as someone who's been covering them for a while. But you could still see definitely that the tone was very different from maybe what would have been expected had none of this taken place.
A convention like unlike any other, highlighted, I guess, by the appearance of wrestling legend Hulk Hogan. What was the reaction inside the arena to Hulk doing his shtick on stage at the Republican National Convention?
Everyone loved it. That was definitely a highlight of the moment for others. And it was funny. Right after that, it's like, how do you follow that? Why wasn't he close to the end? You know, I felt bad. But, you know, again, just people from all walks of life here. You have politicians, you have family members, you have celebrities and entertainment folks. I mean, it just so much thought went into this to try to appeal to every single person in that audience. You could really see that with a list of people, and you could see that with the audience's reactions for sure in terms of, you know, how they experienced the convention.
Hey, Jana Lohenkron, Bloomberg News, live in Milwaukee on the Mark Arum Show. I've got to talk about the Biden campaign. More calls from inside the House pleading for him to step down. The poll numbers keep getting worse and worse. What kind of discussions were being held on the floor of the convention about the future of the Biden campaign?
You know, it was really Trump, Trump, Trump. I think that the fact that Trump had such a positive news. I mean, remember, we started off Monday with the dismissal of the Mar-a-Lago case. I mean, for all of the reporters here, it was just one thing after the next. And all of them have this common denominator of being in Trump's favor, while at the same time, Biden with COVID, Biden with the reports of this person saying this, in terms of his inner orbit of people, of course, you know, campaign denying a lot of these reports. And we're hearing that Biden still plans to be in the race. So that's something that, of course, will continue to unfold. But the contrast couldn't be clearer.
You got to look at the run that former President Trump's on. I said yesterday in the show, he should go straight to Vegas and start playing crap. So he had the awful Biden debate performance, which was a huge boost to him. And then the calls for Biden to get out. Then the dismissal. Then the Supreme Court gives him basically immunity.
Right.
Then
and pushed it back the sentencing.
Yeah.
That was something. That was originally going to be the story of the week. I was ready to go to New York for that.
Unbelievable. And then, you know, surviving an assassination attempt, which is still just a jaw-dropping story. He's on such a roll, former President Trump, right now.
Absolutely. And obviously he's hoping that this will continue into, you know, into November. But we had our RNC chairman, Michael Whatley, come and speak to us at an On the Record event, and he was saying, you know, we can't be overconfident. We can't get ahead of ourselves here. You know, allies and the campaign has said they will not take anything for granted. Obviously, J.D. Vance, who we haven't even gotten to because there have been so many other newsy things to discuss. But that was, of course, huge. Having, you know, that was what the speculation has been about for weeks and months. Who exactly would the VP be? How would they help him? We know he is going to go out in places like Michigan, where the Trump and Vance are headed to. Is today Saturday? I don't even know what day it is.
Today's Friday. It's Friday.
They're headed there Saturday. He's going to do a lot of work in Pennsylvania. So they are still in it, and we will see. We expect that campaigning will ramp up.
I've got to tie in our top story into our conversation, this global IT outage. I know there are hundreds of delegates from Georgia that were planning to fly back to Atlanta today and are stuck. Are you stuck, and what's your situation right now as far as travel plans?
I'm currently in my hotel hoping and praying that things will be okay. I have an afternoon flight, and I mean, clearly there wasn't enough going on. We had to add this to the mix.
Yeah. All right. Do me a favor and yourself a favor. Get to that mini bar. Grab yourself the $35 jar of macadamia nuts. I'll reimburse you for it. You deserve a treat for the amazing coverage you provided all week and really all campaign season. So the macadamia nuts are on me, Hadriana.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Right.
Best of luck getting out of Milwaukee. Hadriana Lowenkron, Bloomberg News. That's exciting, though, to cover a convention and staying at hotels and traveling. And maybe one day we'll do that, Deborah. Maybe one day. All right, travel at a standstill. We're going to update our top story. We'll revisit our conversation with CBS News travel expert Peter Greenberg. That's coming up next on The Mark Arum Show.
They canceled the flight. I think there was a kind of a breakdown in communications because there's so much going on, and so I think they're trying to figure out how to get people's luggage back to them, and it's a really big airport, so yeah. We're just waiting, hopefully, that we find our luggage.
Atlanta traveler Leslie Longoria giving us an actuality at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson. Well, it says unidentified traveler in Atlanta, so I would just say she travels for work sometimes,
she
right?
She does, yeah.
Massive IT outage causing huge travel delays, not just here in Metro Atlanta. Top of the show, Michelle Wright joined us live from Hartsfield-Jackson International. And, you know, we're used to seeing, Deborah, these backups at the airport, but it's always in through security. It's the security line that's, and to be fair, the last eight trips I've taken to Hartsfield, I've not had to wait in security. They have really become a well-oiled machine. But you travel Thanksgiving or July 4th, you know, those busy travel days, you're going to get backups at the security. But today it wasn't security. It was folks just trying to check into their flights, causing major delays. And while we are seeing some recovery, it's still a major international issue. CBS News legal. No, he's not illegal. He's a travel expert. His name's Peter Greenberg. Peter joined us yesterday from the Grand Canyon. Now he's in Europe. Peter, how has this global IT outage impacted you personally?
Well, my plane actually landed on time in Amsterdam only because it was already in the air. But once it landed, full ground stop, not even gates available because no plane is going in or going out, so all the gates are occupied. And that's still the case now. You know, Amsterdam is a major European hub, and it's indicative of what's happening worldwide. You're talking with planes that are out of schedule, crews are out of sequence, they can't get planes in or out. And it's also affecting local fire departments here. They can't even operate their 911 system. Television stations have been kicked off the air here. Hospitals have banned or temporarily postponed all elective surgeries because the systems won't allow it to happen. So right now it's sort of like a manual override system here, and that could take hours.
We're seeing massive delays at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson, not getting through security, but just getting checked in. I've been to the Amsterdam airport a couple of times, really cool airport. Do you see similar delays there, folks getting to the airport and not being able to check in?
Well, they can check in. They're just not going anywhere. So the lounges are full, the gates are full, and nothing's moving. I mean, literally, imagine, we haven't seen this since 9/11, when you have a full ground stop on a worldwide basis.
Peter Greenberg, travel expert for CBS News, joining us on the Mark Arum Show. So folks that had flights booked today, what's your advice for them to do?
Well, remember this. Every time you have an airport, whether it's worldwide or just domestic, on one particular airport that's down for an hour, it takes them about 4 or 5 hours to get back on track. This everything's out of sequence. Now, when you have a worldwide situation, nothing gets back on track. It becomes exponentially deteriorating every 15 minutes. So there's a very good chance that most flights will not get out today. We're not talking on time. We're talking about if at all. And then hopefully by tomorrow, slowly about surely before noon tomorrow, assuming they fix it today, they can actually get back on track.
So this will be a long-range impact situation where not only impacting flights today, Friday, but Saturday, maybe even Sunday?
Oh, and then even in the next week. Remember, we're dealing with a summer in which every flight is full. There are no places to rebook you. So if your flight doesn't operate today, that doesn't mean they're going to rebook you on their first flight out tomorrow. That plane's already booked anyway. So people's plans may be disrupted for more than one day.
So hypothetically, if I had a flight that was leaving Hartsfield today at 2 p.m., I'm not the kind of guy that wants to go down to the airport and wait things out. Do I call the airport? Do I go online? What's the best MO for folks that don't want to get down to the airport and get stuck? What should we do prior to getting to the airport?
Well, remember, in order for the plane to leave Hartsfield, it's got to get to Hartsfield. And there are a number of great flight apps called FlightAware or Flight Radar 24 that can actually let you track the aircraft that's assigned to your flight to see where it is. And if the aircraft assigned to your flight is 8,000 miles away, you're not leaving at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Peter Greenberg, travel expert on the Mark Arum Show here, covering this massive global IT outage. Now, the IT folks say this wasn't a malicious attack. It was just something that happened behind the scenes. There's a fix in place already. Does that make you feel better knowing that this wasn't some sort of a cyber attack?
Of course it makes you feel better. But remember, we ask this question every time it's happened. It happened before United Airlines. It happened at Southwest. It even happened back at Continental Airlines before they became United Airlines. The question that's always asked is, where's the backup system? How do we fly manually? I mean, at the end of the day, you got to have a backup system for reasons just as we're experiencing them today.
Peter, was Amsterdam your final destination, or were you connecting somewhere?
Oh, no, I was connecting somewhere, so I'm preparing to sleep.
Well, there's a wide variety of excellent lounges that you can relax at the Amsterdam airport, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, but they're also all full as well. Remember, most people don't fly to Amsterdam. They connect through it, so that's your big problem. These major European hubs are just as enjoyable as they are in Atlanta because it's all about the connections, and that's not happening.
If you don't mind me asking, where were you headed, and was it for your PBS show?
Yes, I was heading to Marseille to start a shoot there that would continue on to Sicily. And right now I have a camera crew. I don't know where they are. They were supposedly going to be changing planes in Paris, and that's the last we heard of them. So right now everybody's just stuck in place and waiting.
Wow, nightmare situation. CBS travel expert Peter Greenberg. Peter, safe travels. I hope you get to Marseille. I'm sure you're going to have a lovely time there. And really, thank you from all of us here in Atlanta for jumping on with us covering this huge breaking news story.
Hey, not a problem, Mark. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
I want to be Peter Greenberg when I grow up. I'm going to Amsterdam, Marseille, Madrid, Sicily.
But he was in the Grand Canyon.
Not going to the Grand Canyon. All right, Sabrina, standing by with news, weather, and traffic. When we come back, we'll update the IT outage campaign 2024. Deborah's got some tickets to give away. And Atlanta's own American Ninja Warrior, Ricky Vu. He's next on the Mark Arum Show.
He packed in animals 2x2. Ox, camel, and a kangaroo.
Growing up as a youngin' in rural Connecticut, I don't know, it was maybe the mid to late 80s, something swept the United States of America, and it penetrated my local neighborhood. It was a run on Ninja Stars. Every single kid in my neighborhood had a Ninja Star, and if you're not familiar with them, it's a deadly weapon. But my mom would refuse to get me a Ninja Star, so I had to live vicariously through my friends. And I think that's what planted the seed in my obsession with ninjas. So I was very excited when a show came out called America Ninja Warrior. And joining us in studio from America Ninja Warrior, it's Ricky Vu. Ricky, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
You're way younger than I am, obviously. But were Ninja Stars the thing when you were a kid?
They were. But the parents would buy us the plastic set instead.
Oh, I got you.
To be a little safer. I grew up with siblings, so you know, she wanted us to be safe.
Yeah, the Gen Xers like me and Deborah and Longoria, we had the
real ninja stars. We had lawn jarts where people were killed. I mean, we had a really wild upbringing. I never did get my own set of ninja stars, but I was able to, you know, throw my friends. In hindsight, it was probably good that my mom said, no, you're not getting any ninja stars.
Yeah.
So, all right, American Ninja Warrior, a participant in the past and in the future.
And in the future.
That's amazing.
Fingers crossed.
First off, I got to ask, because once that show came on, I was like, oh, I should get on the show. And then I saw the show, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to get on the show. How did you wind up on American Ninja Warrior, and what are the qualifications you needed to get on the show?
Pretty much my sister, Jessica, she is a huge fan of the show, and she watched the show, and she's like, hey, I think you'd be perfect for the show. And so I watched it back, and I said, maybe. So I gave it a shot. At the time, Casey Catanzaro, the woman who pretty much put Ninja Warrior more so on the map than ever, I watched that, and I'm like, man, that's impressive. I want to try it. So the process to get on it is you have to fill out a big application online.
Okay.
A&W Casting. Then you submit a 2 to 3 minute video of you pretty much showcasing that you're physically able to do it, and just a backstory, or you be entertaining, or both. And so I hope I was the triple threat. Apparently I balanced.
For sure.
You know, melded the three together, and they gave me a call, and it's been a life-changing experience.
And when were you on first on the show?
I was on the show back when I was 22 years old. I'm 32 now.
Okay, so 10 years ago.
So 10 years ago, I my first season was Orlando at Universal Studios, and the season that's airing right now, season 16, is Universal Studios, but Hollywood.
Okay. Studios. So I don't want to give any spoiler for this season.
Can't give any spoilers for this season.
10 years ago, how did you do?
I did well. So they take the top 30 to the city finals,
okay,
and I was right on the cusp of it. I came in 31st place. Oh. And I fell on the fourth obstacle right before the warp wall. It was the double tilt ladder. It was midway through. It's the big old 6 foot lache you have to do. And I missed it. I missed it by just a hair, but it was a little bit of nerves, but I was so excited to get welcomed back on the show each year and just try it again. And, you know,
so I was going to ask you, what was the toughest part of it? Was it that event that you went out on, the double ladder thingamabob?
To be honest, a lot of us do so much training for the show that it's not really any particular obstacle. It's just that it's just the adrenaline that's going. It's nerves. It's a lot of factors that you have to balance out. And in my rookie year, I couldn't quite figure that out.
Yeah.
But the older I've gotten, I've talked to the more experienced ninjas. They have great advice, and you kind of just network with the community. The camaraderie is amazing on the show, and you just kind of pick each other's brains and say, hey, okay, this is how you should do this, or, you know, map it out in your head. And so it's not really any particular obstacle. It's more so just a mindset thing. It's like, I can do this. Let's have fun.
Gotcha. Ricky Vu, American Ninja Warrior, joining us on the Mark Arum Show. So there's not one obstacle you go, oh, no, not that. It's just a matter of mentally being able to handle everything in front of you.
For me, yes. I will say some people, they don't like the balance obstacle. I enjoy it just because it's a lot of the balance obstacles they have on the show, thankfully, right now are just sprinting. And I grew up playing soccer, so just quick feet. I think a lot of people, they get nervous on, like, the things that involve grip strength, so the cliffhangers and stuff
Same.
Like that.
I hate the cliffhangers. That's the toughest
so
one.
So much finger strength. Rock climbers do the best on the show. They really do. Gymnast. You know, the top three people that do the best on the show are the gymnast, parkour artist,
yeah,
and, you know, rock
and talk show host. Ricky, where did you grow up?
I grew up Metro Atlanta, so Fayetteville, Hampton area.
Excellent. I love that. And your career resume, there's a couple of steps that took you to Ninja Warrior fame, including working at Chick-fil-A.
That's correct. My pleasure.
What did you do at Chick-fil-A?
I was an opening manager there.
Oh, all right.
I worked there for 12 years.
That's a fantastic place to work.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they definitely taught me a lot about discipline, work ethic, how to treat other people. And I'm very, very grateful for the time I was, you know, working for Chick-fil-A. I had an amazing boss.
Yeah. What was your favorite item on the menu back when you were at Chick-fil-A?
I got burnt out on a lot of it.
I understand.
I will say, but the 12-piece nugget with the, I would say Chick-fil-A sauce, but it's still that Polynesian sauce.
So good. You can't go wrong with any of
those. You can't
go
wrong with Polynesian sauce.
All right, so final question for you, because I know you get it back to training and getting ready for this, and the stagnant lifestyle is not going to help you be a ninja. how did you, from 10 years ago to now, How did you wind up back on the program?
It's the same process every year.
Did really they contact just, you, or do you say, I want back?
I want back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you
have to
out.
You have to make it known to them that you want back, because there's so many, as the popularity continues to grow on the show, there's just so many more people that want a shot at it. And so you really have to stick out. And the good thing, the advantage about competing on the show for multiple years is the fact that they do know your story. They are familiar with you. And so it's really just reminding them that, hey, I'm here. I'm ready to compete. I'm ready to do better than I did in previous years. And I think this season is the best season I've ever done on the show so far. And training for the next season, the next season, season 17, I'm hoping to get another shot at it.
Fantastic. Fan favorite, Ricky Vu on the Mark Arum Show. Where can folks watch the show? When's it on, et cetera, et cetera?
It is on NBC and Peacock. It is every Monday, 8, and you can also stream full episodes on Peacock.
Can I go back and watch your original season? Is that available to be
you
streamed?
You can.
Oh, I'm going to do that tonight.
Season 7.
Yeah, all right.
Season
7. I'm going to do that tonight.
Orlando, yep.
All right, Ricky, thanks for coming in. Perfect. We'll get you back on after you win this thing.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Most in-shape guest we've ever had in studio on the Mark Arum Show. If you want to see how much better shape he's in, I got a picture of Ricky on my Instagram account, at Mark Arum. When we come back, we have an update on the Israel-Hamas war. I got to remember Bob Newharder passed away yesterday. That hurt me a lot. But let's give to the listeners, Deborah. What do we have today?
A pair of tickets to see Keep the Party Going, a tribute to Jimmy Buffett, featuring the Coral Reefer Band at Chastain on August 2nd.
Beautiful. Seventh caller to 404-872-0750. Seventh caller to Sweet Pea Purnell at 404-872-0750 wins those amazing pair of tickets, courtesy of the Mark Arum Show at 95.5 WSB.
There was blood pouring everywhere, and yet, in a certain way, I felt very safe because I had God on my side.
President Trump last night accepting the Republican nomination at the convention. Eric Erickson continues our campaign coverage noon to 3 here on 95.5 WSB. I'm sure Eric's got a lot to say about the rumors swirling the Biden campaign. Anything pops in campaign 2024, we are your official election station. So keep it locked throughout the weekend here on 95.5 WSB. Updating our top story today, that massive IT outage. Deborah, we got an apology from CrowdStrike CEO George Kurtz. He apologized just a little bit ago for the global IT outage caused by the cybersecurity firm's software update. On X, he quoted, quote, "We understand the gravity of the situation. Deeply sorry for the inconvenience and disruption. It was not Shelley Winter's fault for causing this major IT," even though Shelley, again, forgot to log out of the computer here in the WSB radio studio. Quick update. This is good news in the Israel-Hamas war just a little bit ago. This is coming from the Jerusalem Post. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that a long-sought ceasefire between Israel and the Palestinian terrorist group Hamas was within sight, saying negotiators were, quote, "driving toward the goal line." So maybe some good news. Another big story we're going to follow throughout the weekend here on 95.5 WSB. Woke up this morning sad. We lost another comedic legend, Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago with more.
Accountant turned comedian Bob Newhart was born in Oak Park, Illinois, and a statue of him sitting on a couch is at Chicago's Navy Pier. It's modeled after the role he played as a Chicago psychologist in the 70s sitcom The Bob Newhart Show. Film critic and historian Leonard Maltin says his fame went beyond that.
Young people coming up in show business and so admired and respected him, they wanted to put him to use. And that's what happened on The Big Bang Theory, or in that wonderful role in Elf.
Newhart's publicist says the actor died yesterday in Los Angeles after a series of short illnesses. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
Yeah, I grew up in the 70s, 80s. Newhart was always must-watch, his television shows, his stand-up. And the younger kids, like Vinnie Bag of Donuts and Sweet Ann, they know him from Elf. He was Buddy's dad in Elf, and he was on The Big Bang Theory, which Longoria loves. I had Sweet Pea pull a bunch of Bob Newhart audio. I mentioned one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time. And he played Buddy, the elf's dad, not his biological father, obviously.
Elves love to tell stories. I bet you didn't know that about elves. There's probably a lot of things you didn't know about elves.
What's amazing about that is, I mean, in hindsight, he's got elfish features. You know, Bob Newhart does kind of look like a little elf. perhaps he had the greatest ending of a television show of all time. So first, Bob Newhart had a show in the 70s where he was a psychiatrist. In the 80s, he had another wildly popular show where he ran an inn in Vermont. And in the last episode of that second show, it had the most classic ending to a show of all time. And that was his wife from his first television. I mean, it's brilliant, brilliant way to end a show. And he was also brilliant on stage as a stand-up comedian. Just so dry and just so funny.
There are more planes in the air today than ever before in the history of aviation. And our airports are overcrowded, and it's just about impossible to control all of that air traffic. I don't know if you've ever been in an airport control tower, but at every busy airport, there's one guy, and his job is to keep track of everything. And he is called the traffic control officer. He has a radar screen in front of him, and he wears a headset like this. Oh, okay, all right, United 209. Yeah, we have radar contact. You're looking very good. Pan American 715. You haven't seen United 209 up there anywhere, have you? It's a big plane. It's one of those four-engine jobs. It's got United on the side. You can't miss it. Well, if you see him, would you tell him to call in? Yeah. Yeah, 715, we're pretty jammed up here. I'm going to have to put you in the holding pattern. How's your visibility? Yeah, look off to your left about 3 miles over San Bernardino. Yeah, do you see all the planes? No, just take a place anywhere there. You can find some. We'll call you back as soon as we have an opening. No, don't call us. We'll call you.
He's such a unique talent. And as soon as I heard the word yesterday, the first thing I thought of was like, well, at least he gets to be reunited with his best friend. He was best friends with Don Rickles, who is the total opposite of him. But I think it was Judd Apatow did a little documentary for New Yorker magazine detailing their friendship. Them and the wives used to travel all over the world. Bob Newhart classic. One of my favorite Bob Newhart lines, it wasn't said by him, but it was Buddy Hackett who said, not Don Rickles. He goes, Bob Newhart's so classy, he steps out of the shower to pee. He was classy. He was an icon. He was hilarious. Rest in peace, Bob Newhart.
Longoria's fact of the day.
All right, it's National Daiquiri Day today. And back in 1898, men worked in the mines of a small community off the coast of Cuba during the Spanish-American War. One American engineer, Jennings Cox, supervised the mining operation located in a village named Daiquiri. And every day after work, Cox and his employees would gather at the Venus Bar. And then one day, Cox mixed up a Bacardi, lime, and sugar in a tall glass of ice. He named the new beverage after the Daiquiri Mines, and the drink soon became a staple in Havana.
So it named after a town. I didn't know that. Great fact of that. Let's invent a drink and call it Smyrna. Let's go to a bar in Smyrna and just invent some drink. Great fact of the day, Longoria. We better start this early. We got a ton of stars of the show to give away today.
And now, are you guys ready for the Mark Arum Star of the Show?
We'll start at the top with the best. Michelle Wright joined us live from the world's busiest airport updating the cyber outage. How about Peter Greenberg? Yesterday, he joined us from the Grand Canyon. Today, he joined us from Amsterdam. Most notably, gets a star of the show for that. Olivia Rinaldi and Hadriana Lohenkrown both joined us from Milwaukee, updating the Republican National Convention. Good stuff there. Bill Crane joined us live on the rumors swirling the Biden campaign. Our political analyst broke it down, and he's standing by in case something big pops this weekend. So make sure you listen to 95.5 WSB. America Ninja Warrior Ricky Vu. He gets a star of the show. Great to meet him. And who am I forgetting?
Weird Al.
Weird Al Yankovic. That was so cool. Longoria is going to post the podcast shortly if you missed that interview. All right, listen, we're out of here. Social media will be active throughout the weekend at Mark Arum, MarkArum. Stay safe. Have a great Friday, Atlanta. Georgia. Leaving on the midnight train. Yeah. Said he's going back. Going back. To a simpler place and time. Place that right. Oh, you see him. Right by his side. Now I'll be with him. I know. Raise your hand if you're addicted to streaming. Hey, it's Mark Arum here, and my hand is raised. I want you to check out Xfinity Stream Saver. When you add Xfinity Stream Saver to your internet, you get Apple TV plus Netflix and Peacock all for one low price. And now through September 22nd, get 150 megabit Xfinity internet, $30 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract, Wi-Fi included. Stream Saver, just $15 a month. Get all the information online at Xfinity.com or call 1-800-XFINITY right now.